Good morning, and welcome to the July 8th edition of Southern Champaign County Today. My name is Lori Talkington for the Illinois Radio Reader, and today's date is Thursday, July 9th, 2026. Let's jump right into the activity at the Sydney American Legion Post, which reported at their recent meeting that they have cash on hand of just over $1,000. And at the most recent meeting, they elected a new slate of officers who include Post Commander Bill Paul Haynes, Finance Officer Bob Henderson, Senior Vice Commander Robbie Walker, and Junior Vice Commander Daryl Hicks. Discussion continued on the American Legion's Gifts for the Yanks program and how to connect with that program and donate if you wish on the American Legion's website. They also noted that August 13th to the 23rd at the Illinois State Fair and on Sunday, August 16th, is Veterans Day at the State Fair. Veterans and Gold Star families can get into the State Fair for free for the entire day on August 16th. There will also be veterans events at the fair at the Lincoln Stage, and the actual parade will take place that very afternoon. Commander Henderson reported that the American Legion National Convention will take place August 28th to September 3rd. And Chuck Zielinski noted that there will be a legacy award table set up at that event in honor of J.R. Stillwell. Chuck Zielinski reported that a Veterans Resource Center is being set up at the Salvation Army in Champaign, located at 2212 North Market Street. Zielinski will visit the site and report more about their activities. The Legion's Memorial Day program was also discussed, and honor was paid to the oldest member of the post, who is George Hawthorne, at 104 years old. He attended the Memorial Day event and was applauded at the time. Also at Memorial Day, the 50-50 raffle totaled $63. $32 went to the winner, and $31 went to the American Legion Post. The Philo American Legion Post Commander, Mike Luth, was the winner of the raffle. In other Sydney news, we want to remind everyone that Sydney Fun Days this year is scheduled for Friday and Saturday, July 24th and July 25th. On Friday, events will begin at 2 in the afternoon and go on till 11:30 p.m. And on Saturday, there will be a full day of activities starting at 8 a.m. until 11:30 a.m. Everyone is welcome to come on out and have a great time in Sydney, Illinois. Jumping right into our community news and notes, we want to remind everybody that Menards Home Improvement Store in Champaign is sponsoring a food drive until the end of July. There's a drop-off site for the local food pantries at the door of Menards, and everyone is welcome to pick up an item in Menards' own perishable foods, non-perishable foods department, which would be suitable for donations. These include everything from boxes of cereal to cans of soup. And again, the collection box is located right by the exit doors. Tolono food pantries are open in several locations every Monday from 5 until 6:30 in the evening and Friday from 9 to 10:30 in the morning at St. Patrick Catholic Charities in Tolono. The pantry provides fresh produce, meat, and pantry items and is open to everyone in Champaign County. Also in Tolono, the Giving Place is open every Wednesday from 4 to 6 p.m. to help families in need of food. Also, in Villa Grove, there is a caregivers group. If you're caring for a loved one, you know, such as a spouse, a parent, or a child with a disability, there's a caregivers group where people can share their experiences, suggestions, and resources. They meet at the Zest for Life Center in Villa Grove, located at 610 East Harrison, at 1:30 in the afternoon on the first Wednesday of every month. This is a free and informal group. If you have questions or are interested in attending, you can text or call and leave a message at this phone number. It is 217-369-7071. In more Tolono news, we now have our weekly newsletter from the Tolono Public Library. On Tuesday, June 30th, the library welcomed Chris Valilio, a singer, songwriter, and scholar. Mr. Valilio presented his show on the power of song in democracy before a crowded audience. Using five different guitars, a banjo, and various other instruments, he took the audience on a journey through the birth and development of our country through song. He began with our national anthem, which was originally not supposed to be our national anthem, all the way up to the song Imagine by John Lennon, including favorites and well-known tunes such as Yankee Doodle, Tippecanoe and Tyler Too, and This Land Is Your Land. For each song, he explained the significance of the tune held during the time in which it was popular and encouraged the audience to clap and sing along. It was an enjoyable and educational experience, and it was the perfect segue into our nation's 250th birthday. If you missed out on Chris's performance, then be sure to mark your calendar for our next big performance, scheduled for July 20th. On that day, Laura Keyes will be at the Tolono Library portraying Elizabeth Cady Stanton, suffragette, and will take us through her life in the early 20th century and the fight for the right for women to vote. Be sure to register for this program on our website or simply call us at the library. The Tolono Library is continuing the America 250 celebrations with the Colonial Game Day on Tuesday, July 14th. All that day, drop in the library and try your hand at old-fashioned games that kids would have played at home while the nation was fighting for our independence. We have a lot of other exciting upcoming programs at the Tolono Library this week. Check out our website, which is simply tolonolibrary.org, and sign up for our newsletters, or stop in and grab a calendar so that you can stay up to date and don't miss a single one of the exciting events happening at the Tolono Public Library all summer long. Next, let's take a look up at the night sky in East Central Illinois with David Leakey, who is retired director of the Starkel Planetarium at Parkland College, and he begins. If you have binoculars, train them on brilliant Venus in the western sky in the evening. As the sky darkens, you'll find that Venus shares space with the star Regulus, which is the heart of Leo, the lion constellation. The pair are about 1 degree apart. Although Regulus is the 21st brightest star in our night sky, it pales in comparison to the brilliant Venus. Wait a bit as the twilight glow fades to see the star. Then, on Saturday morning, look just north of east around 4 a.m. for the waning crescent moon. The moon makes a straight line with Mars and the star Aldebaran, both of which appear reddish to the naked eye. The line extends below and right of the moon. Mars is in the middle. The Pleiades star cluster is above and to the right of the moon. The star name Aldebaran means the follower, as it seems to follow that star cluster, the Pleiades, across the sky. Next up, we'll spend a few minutes thinking about the ramblings from The Village Idiot. This column is an opinion piece, I remind you. And he begins, "The saga of the reflecting pool gets more un-American by the day. With the pool now closed off to the public, fenced off, and covered with netting, nobody can contradict the administration's narrative of imaginary vandals damaging the pool. After the green algae bloomed out of control and the coating started peeling off the bottom in shreds. Now, a 67-year-old Olympic athlete has been indicted for, as the administration says, ripping coating off with his bare hands, causing over $1,000 in damage. This is the coating which the president in early May said was indestructible and couldn't even be cut with a knife. This case reminds me of how the legal system works in the Soviet Union. However, the one vandal picture being offered to the public shows one man dipping his hand barely below the water's surface, while several people standing around him do not appear to be taking any particular notice of his activity. Maybe he was picking up a piece of trash out of the water. Who knows? Meanwhile, tens of thousands of people, being reported by Fox News to be attending the Great American State Fair, could not be seen on camera at the time. So obviously, an effective invisibility screen has become available to the general public. This may explain the lack of surveillance footage showing any actual vandalism at the reflecting pool. The Sika Corporation, which did the restoration work on the pool 15 years ago, declined to do the recent job for two reasons. One was that they wanted nothing to do with applying a blue coating, which they said would cause aesthetic inconsistencies where it was applied to the sealant between slabs of concrete. More substantively, they said there was no way they could do the job right before July 4th. So there is no question in my mind that the sealant is peeling off because of bad workmanship, followed by having the presidential motorcade drive over the fresh sealant. But at least when the repair work begins, the administration will be able to make a truthful claim that they are draining the swamp. Just not the one they promised to drain. The swamp of public corruption is getting bigger, deeper, and more putrid by the minute. Meanwhile, a couple of monarch butterflies have fixated on the meadow blazing stars, Liatris lingulistylis, which are now looking like electric violet Roman candles in my own front yard. Again, we are reading a column by Our Village Idiot. Other electric violet varieties of blazing star are on the way. A fair proportion of my New England asters have started blooming in mid-June. My guess is the lack of hot weather up until then fooled them into thinking it was autumn. They usually start blooming in mid-September. A few more monarch butterflies are visiting my common milkweed out back. I've already seen some leaf damage, but I've not looked closely for my monarch caterpillars. My sunflowers have begun to open. The poppies are fading fast, and I'm yanking them as the last blooms fade. So the zinnias that were blooming behind them are now more visible. Summer is in full swing, complete with a heat wave. And as I write this, on July 3rd, the 250th anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence is coming up tomorrow. I've yet heard no fireworks, which is unusual. They usually start up a week ahead of the 4th of July. Also, as I write this, I'm hearing cicadas, a.k.a. harvest flies, a sure sign that the season is moving on. Let's remember that when the Constitutional Convention adjourned in 1787, Benjamin Franklin commented on a gilded image of the sun painted on the back of the chair that George Washington sat in. He said he wondered during the convention whether that sun was rising or setting. But now, quote, at length, I have the happiness to know that it is a rising and not a setting sun. When asked what kind of government that we will be getting, Franklin replied, a republic, if you can keep it. And so reported the Village Idiot. Next up, we have a rather lengthy news item regarding regulations on intoxicating hemp, which Governor Pritzker says are long overdue. This article is brought to us by Capital News Illinois reporter Ben Zielinski. A wide-ranging new state law on hemp and other cannabis regulations was long overdue, Governor J.B. Pritzker said Thursday at an event in Chicago to celebrate the new law, which he signed last month. Senate Bill 3222 makes a variety of changes to the state's cannabis laws, but chiefly introduces new regulations for intoxicating hemp products. It immediately bans the sale of the previously unregulated products, such as Delta 8, to those under age 21, and now regulates intoxicating hemp under the state's existing cannabis laws. While our regulated cannabis market has been operating under those strict standards, using a federal loophole, an entirely separate market emerged for intoxicating hemp products, creating real risks to the public, especially for our kids, Pritzker said. Intoxicating hemp products have been sold over the counter without the safeguards that consumers deserve, and until now, without the protections needed to keep them out of the hands of young people. Intoxicating hemp products now must be sold in childproof packages. It also bans what supporters of regulation call misleading advertising and packaging that's designed to appeal to children. This packaging is generally designed to make it look like they're common snacks. But these are not harmless products that carry they carry real risks for young children and young people, said Dr. Mark Butterly, the chief medical officer at Advocate Aurora Children's Hospital. These products can impair judgment, affecting the developing brain, and send children to our emergency rooms. The law is years in the making after legislators debated how to regulate hemp. Proposals ranged from sweeping bans on hemp products to introducing an entirely new framework of regulations. Reforms that Governor Pritzker supported stalled in early 2025 after fighting between Pritzker, Chicago Mayor Brendan Johnson, and House Democrats. The governor endorsed a Senate-passed bill, but the House declined to take it up after a big blow-up in a private caucus meeting where Pritzker said that members of his administration were verbally abused. Mayor Johnson's team opposed the Pritzker-supported bill. Pritzker bashed the mayor afterward, saying he rarely reaches out to discuss issues with Pritzker, although the governor said he doubts that Mayor Johnson's opposition stalled the measure. But this spring, there was little fighting over hemp and cannabis reforms, and the bill was introduced in the final days of session without any drama. In other reforms related to hemp regulation, beginning on November 12th, non-intoxicated CBD products with less than 0.4 milligrams of THC will be allowed to be sold outside the regulated market. With more businesses that sell intoxicating products now subject to regulation, the law also allows the state to issue 45 unused infuser licenses to business in January to applicants with prior experience under the state's social equity laws and add 100 new licenses in 2028. Prisker noted that as industries evolve, our laws must also evolve. Today, we are strengthening protections for children. We're expanding access for medical patients. We're advancing social equity even further. And we're making our regulatory system operate more efficiently and better for everyone. The bill also made several changes to the state's existing cannabis laws. All dispensaries in the state will now be able to register as medical dispensaries, ending previous restrictions that distinguished between those that could sell medical products or only ones that sell hemp for recreational use. The new changes will also allow medical patients to pick up cannabis curbside or through a drive-thru. More medical conditions will also now qualify patients to receive a medical cannabis prescription. Once again, Capital News Illinois is a nonprofit, nonpartisan news service that distributes state government coverage to hundreds of news outlets statewide. In another news item of statewide interest, we have an article describing how Illinois schools are attempting to grapple with AI cyberbullying and the creation of deep fakes. This article is from the Medill, Illinois News Bureau by Naomi Texayan, and it describes how educators are working to understand how best to respond to this rapidly evolving technology. Earlier this year, administrators at Lake Zurich High School confronted a growing challenge facing schools statewide, students and nationwide, students using artificial intelligence to create sexually explicit images of their classmates. After reporting the matter to police, the Lake Zurich School District reported the matter to police, the district launched a series of student and family education efforts focused on online safety and responsible technology use. The incident illustrates the kinds of situations that Illinois lawmakers may have had in mind when they passed a bill last year requiring schools to address AI. This effort is part of a larger mission to address cyberbullying. Beginning July 1st, the state's definition of cyberbullying was expanded to include AI-generated digital replicas, forcing districts across Illinois to update their policies and procedures. Also by July 1st, the Illinois State Board of Education has been required to develop statewide guidance on artificial intelligence in schools. The guidance is expected to address AI-generated false representations of individuals to help districts update their policies ahead of the 26-27 school year. The Illinois State Board of Education Press Secretary Lindsay Record said that while the agency is still developing guidance, it remains the case that local policies, procedures, and responses to specific incidents are determined at the district and school level. In Lake Zurich, for the coming school year, officials expect to build on the guidance provided following the earlier incident. The district anticipates continued integration of explicit teaching opportunities for all students regarding safe, responsible technology usage in alignment with core district values, according to Jean Malik, Executive Director of Communications for Lake Zurich Community Unity School District 95. Additionally, the district anticipates continued information and resource sharing with families on how to best support safe technology usage. Even though schools already have policies to address bullying, the new law provides important clarification by naming unauthorized AI-generated digital replicas as a newer form of harm, said Scott Rowe, superintendent of Township High School District 214. The message is clear, Rose said. AI does not remove responsibility. The law, he said, will give districts clearer language for policies, student expectations, and family conversations. The school-focused legislation does not change Illinois' criminal statutes governing AI-generated sexual imagery. Under state law, AI-generated sexual images that appear to depict minors may be prosecuted under child pornography and related obscenity statutes. Depending on the circumstances, creating, possessing, or distributing such images can result in felony charges. The issue is not isolated. A 2024 survey by the Center for Democracy and Technology found that 40% of K-12 public school students were well aware of a deepfake involving someone at their school, including 15% who knew of a sexually explicit deepfake depicting a member of their school community. The survey also found that many schools had not proactively addressed the issue, with more than 60% of teachers reporting that their school had not shared policies or procedures related to AI-generated sexual imagery. Laura Tierney, founder of the Social Institute, a company that provides schools with digital literacy resources, said that Illinois is taking a step in the right direction by acknowledging that educators have a role to play alongside law enforcement in addressing harmful AI-generated content. She said, "Legislation alone will not solve the spread of this material. With legislation has to come education on the topic, and Illinois schools now have a legal obligation to address AI-generated cyberbullying," Tierney said. "And so now I think the question is whether they have the curriculum and the tools to back up this policy." Tierney said that most students are well aware that deepfakes are hurtful, but might not be fully understand how to support their friends if they see images circulating online. "I think this is an opportunity to coach towards the positive rather than solely scare students with the negative," Tierney said. "It's old school to focus on how harmful it is, like here are all the legal implications. The reality is that it's still going to happen. So how can we help students make positive choices?" Rowe said that the biggest challenges for schools when responding to incidents involving AI-generated content are speed, realism, and reach. Images can spread quickly, and students may not know whether or not they are fake. AI-generated content may be artificial, but the harm it causes can be very real. Rowe added that students do not have to create the original content to contribute to the harm. Sharing or forwarding that content can extend the damage, and it may result in school consequences and, in some cases, legal consequences. "Anything related to AI, it's a bit of a game of whack-a-mole. Just because the technology is evolving so quickly," said Deborah Jacobson, general counsel of the Illinois Association of School Boards. "Kids are often way ahead on technology and what they're doing with it so that it can contribute to the challenge. I don't think that's anything necessarily new, but I think the trend has definitely been accelerating." Naomi Taxay is an undergraduate student in journalism with Northwestern University's Medill School of Journalism, Integrated Marketing, and Communications. She is also a fellow in the Medill Illinois News Bureau, working in partnership with Capital News Illinois. This concludes our reading of the July 8th edition of Southern Champaign County Today. My name is Lori Talkington for the Illinois Radio Reader, and I invite you to join us again next week. I transplanted it when I moved to Springfield and then brought the seeds with us to Tolono. I've had 24 sprouts, of which 4 survived to plant outside, and only one of those made it. The rabbits got the other ones. What a shame. So everyone, let's watch out for our bunnies and do take time to smell the flowers. This concludes our reading of the July 1st edition of Southern Champaign County Today. My name is Lori Talkington for the Illinois Radio Reader, and I invite you to join us again next week. Happy 4th of July.